Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and joining me tonight on our little STVD Trinity edition, the altruistic alien and the warrior princess to my vigilante with a lot of demons, it's Cade and Vicky. Hey, guys.
Hey there. Hi.
It's okay if you guys say hi at the same time. No, it's not that time. I love it's the only time people worry about the talking of one another is when they're saying hi.
I just said hi. I didn't say it. Apparently, I didn't say it loud enough.
I know. Well,
I was taken back that I was Superman.
Yeah, well, I thought about making you Wonder Woman, but you know, I didn't.
I'm gonna take it that in a heartbeat. What are you talking about?
I didn't want to get into a whole trans thing right off the top of our podcast. As folks out there have already noticed, we're a couple hands short this Thanksgiving week. Long story short, Dan's super busy, and you know, Jason's got a life. And no, I'm just seriously. He's a little under the weather, and apparently he was also unable to watch Flash until tomorrow. And with the holidays this week, there's just no other way to do this. And we do not want to be piling these shows onto next week for, I think, pretty obvious reasons. Am I right? I'm right. Of course I'm right.
Agreed.
So basically, it's just we three. Although I do wish more it was us three. Yeah, there's nothing like a pointless 90s music reference to derail the podcast. Anyway, I couldn't resist doing something stupid right off the bat, but you know what? Enough of my yapping. Let's jump right into our first show for the evening, which, of course, is Supergirl. Now, the latest episode was titled The Darkest Place. By the way, did anyone make a reference to or use the phrase "the darkest place" in this episode?
I don't recall them saying it.
I don't think so.
So I mean, I may be pulling a not non-literary minded boner here, but I'm not sure what that's referring to. I mean, I guess you know one can look at a couple different things in the episode, but I kept thinking that's referring to something in literature, and I don't know what it is. Anyway, quickie recap. You know what didn't happen in this episode, quite frankly. Supergirl goes to Cadmus in hopes of saving Mon-El, but instead encounters the real Hank Henshaw, who turns out to be a cyborg. Cyborg Superman, that is. Meanwhile, John, who is Hank Henshaw to almost everyone else, is having intense hallucinations that lead him to uncover the truth about McGann. Alex, well, she's still grappling with her feelings about Maggie. And in the didn't-we-just-see-this-on-Arrow segment of the show, Jimmy and Wynn, or Team Guardian, encounter another masked vigilante who prefers to play judge, jury, and executioner on criminals who got away with murder. Now, maybe it's appropriate that we're talking about this episode of Supergirl on Thanksgiving week, because I gotta say, there's a slight, more than slight problem the show's been having off and on this season, but I feel like maybe we've been skating by in our previous podcasts. I think maybe they're trying to do a little bit too much per episode, and especially in this one. And I think in doing so, it might have ended up taking away almost from all the storylines. It definitely removed a lot of the emotional or visceral impact I think the show should have had, at least for me. Maybe you guys feel differently. We'll find out in about 30 seconds, I think. But, you know, in this episode alone, I'm not even clear what the lead story is. Is it Supergirl fighting Cadmus? Or is it Jean's blood boiling with anger and white Martian cells? Or is it the Guardian versus, you know, Philip the Vigilante? So basically, I think we're going to go through those three. And, you know, we'll, of course, touch on Alex's situation as well, which I'm also going to say I'm a little disappointed. I think it wasn't as well-handed this week as it has been in previous weeks. But first, let's go to what I guess was supposed to be the top story of the episode, which was the Supergirl and Cadmus storyline. I'll just say I thought it was really and truly a mixed bag. And just that storyline alone was really indicative of how the show is maybe trying to do too much all at once, and thus taking away from a lot of different things that were played with and introduced in that storyline. So I got other things to say, but I think people have heard enough of my voice, so let's switch to the guy who wasn't here last week, and Cade, Supergirl, Cadmus, and everything that happened there. What's your take?
I think, well, from the previous episodes, we had Cadmus, they were doing small things. We know they wanted to fight aliens, but we didn't have any real knowledge of who they were. But this week, suddenly there's like all of this. You're finding out, Supergirl finds out it's Luthor's mother who's in charge. You see Hank Henshaw's back, and suddenly already they're introducing him as Cyborg Superman with no real immediate connection as to why he would be called that, why he suddenly is here when we haven't seen him before, or even a reference that he possibly could be alive. And then next thing you know, they're crippling her, taking her power to go ahead and get her blood, to go ahead and get to the Fortress of Solitude, all within an episode. That's a lot that could have, you know, slowly been worked out over episodes, possibly. Mm-hmm. But they crammed it all into this episode, and it feels rushed. From the minute you see Hank Henshaw introduced to he fight Supergirl, within, what, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, he's suddenly calling himself Cyborg Superman, when there's no real immediate connection besides the comic book one for that to happen that quickly.
Right.
It's not like he's wearing a suit or something already. He doesn't look like Superman, so it's a connection that doesn't make it any sense story-wise, because they just rushed it to get it out there instead of slowly rolling it out there.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Hank Henshaw thing is, again, you know, forget the comic book. I mean, it felt like they only had him say the phrase Cyborg Superman as a nod to comic book fans. But, you know, putting that aside, because I don't want to, like, just get, you know, thought in what they call, like, the fanboy downward spiral that we sometimes go into. What you said is dead on about the, you know, and using the Hank Henshaw as an example, a really good example. They've never hinted that character could still be alive. So, and then suddenly having him pop up as this alien-hating cyborg with no build-up, it felt to me like it was just, oh, he's still alive? I kind of forgot all about that.
And it was, what, 7 episodes last season before we found out John was Hank? So they gave us 7 episodes to play out that storyline there, and in this season they introduce him again, and in seconds he's Cyborg Superman. It worked. It's the exact opposite of what they did with the original Hank being John reveal. That's why I think it feels so bad. It's like, you guys did this right then. Why did you do this way?
Yeah, I mean, and just staying with the Hank stuff, it's that way Vicky can talk about the other stuff, obviously, as well. But it's frustrating because I felt the writers kind of, in some ways, wrote themselves into a box this season by playing it really close to the vest for the previous 6 episodes about Project Cadmus. And they wrote it in such a way where, oh, we can't reveal anything what's going on behind the scenes, although we did spend enough time with them with Metallo and other stuff, but to never even hint about the Hank Henshaw and about something else, which came later in the episode. I think maybe they thought in the back of their minds, oh, we'll keep it more mysterious and it'll have a greater impact, when in fact, it didn't. You brought up things that we either weren't aware of or we had kind of forgotten about at this point. So it was regrettable, but I really think they dropped the ball on a lot of things with all the Cadmus goings-on. I think in the moment I was watching, like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, look at that. And then when you start thinking about it more, like, they didn't really handle that very well. Vicky, what did you think about this stuff and stuff we haven't even gotten to with the Cadmus stuff?
Yeah, no, this was definitely a lot of to pack into one episode, because, you know, we probably could have spent a whole episode on any one of these three main stories that were going on. Yep. It definitely felt rushed, because I feel like this was probably in service because they had to set things up for the big crossover event next week. So they're like, okay, we have to, we want to throw things, you know, certain things out there.
Can I ask you something, though? Do you actually think honestly, and I could be totally off base here, do you think much of anything we saw in this episode will have anything to do with the crossover?
No.
Because it's pointless. Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't quite make sense why they threw all of these things out here, like the 5 different things with the Cadmus storyline. because that they could have held on to that until after the big crossover event. And yeah, because we didn't need to, you know, okay, yeah, sure, we could have had, you know, the Hank Henshaw appearance. That's fine, whatever. But they didn't have to do the quote-unquote, you know, cyborg Superman reveal. Like you said, it seemed like they were trying to maybe just pander to the fans a little bit just to get that out there.
Yeah.
They could have, you know, revealed that, you know, maybe in maybe two or three episodes more. But, yeah.
I mean, I think they really dropped the ball at the Hank Henshaw thing. I think that's something we should have seen and been wondering about for some time. And then you get to the reveal. I mean, maybe they were afraid it would seem like they were repeating themselves, like when Hank turned out to be Jean. Maybe, I guess, I could see that. But who cares? You know what? I don't care. You know, if I'm watching The Flash and the bad guy's a speedster every year, I don't mind you doing this again with him if it had worked. And then you have the ultimate question of, okay, if Hank Henshaw has been with Cadmus for all this time, apparently, in the tournament, and then we get to that other person who I figure we should be talking about here, you start wondering, wait, were these two aware of each other? Do you know what I'm saying? You know who I'm talking about. I mean, let's address that now. Yeah, Vicky, I mean, how did you feel about that? I have a lot of problems with that.
I do think maybe it was a good thing that they showed, oh, here's Jeremiah, he is alive. Because I think it was important just to, like, get him, you know, to show him that, yes, he is alive.
But it was like it was almost like just a reminder that, hey, remember this storyline that we kind of forgot about for how long now?
True, but it wasn't like they suddenly, like, oh, here he is, and now he's coming back out. I think, you know, maybe the quick appearance was better, because then they're, you know, they had so much else going on that that was just kind of just starting that, because now Alex and Kara and Everett, they're going to be actively looking for him, you know.
I guess it just, but it bugs me, because this is the guy who, I mean, he is Alex's father, and he raised Kara as his daughter, you know, from the age of 12 or 13 on, whatever the heck it was. And they knew that he was out there somewhere late last season. If I'm remembering the show right, and in fact that was going to be one of Alex's personal missions, that she was going to go find or track down her dad. Again, I don't know why you don't have the super alien with the X-ray vision and everything else do this, because she should be out looking around, unless he's always being put in lead line places. I'm sure. I have to wonder, hey, what? Why did Superman never tell anybody that he couldn't see through lead? That's pretty stupid. Was it that interview with Lois Lane back in 1978? Anyway.
There's one thing about the Jeremiah thing. Are they going to shift the girl's focus to hunting down Cadmus to get him back instead of, you know, hunting down the evil organization who's trying to murder aliens and kill you? That's a thing I'm worried about. That they're going to shift their focus of their mission to stop them to be this. Like, why else introduce him now at that point? Because now it's going to be, we got to get him back, instead of, you know, stopping this organization who's already been a giant problem and caused so much devastation.
Yeah, I just... go on if you want.
Okay, yeah, no, true. And then they could have, maybe once they got closer to... They got more, you know, closer to taking down Camus, at that point they could have reintroduced Jeremiah. But I think that, I don't know, maybe why this seemed kind of the only way that they could have gotten Kara and Mon-El out of there by the end of the episode. So that's why they did it.
I guess, but that's kind of lame.
That's not very good writing.
I mean, my feeling is, okay, they probably have a lot of stuff planned out for the back half of the season. And I'm even willing to assume or expect that we're going to get a lot more information, a lot more episodes really digging into the Cadmus stuff and how all these dots connect and the back, whatever. I, I'm, 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 trying to have faith that that's where it'll go. And yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of what you said before. Maybe they felt because the crossover is kind of going to derail that. And then, you know, they're all going to have like a winter break coming at two, I think, for at least a couple weeks. So maybe they just ended up packing way too much in this one episode. Because quite frankly, just having the Hank Henshaw thing show up, that should have been the episode. That could have been, you could have just had that going on with Cadmus and having that parallel with what John slash Hank is dealing with the Martian storyline. That's your episode. That should have been it. But you piled on way too many other things, and then all these things ended up having little to no impact. I should have had a much bigger reaction to both of those characters. I didn't. And I was kind of disappointed by that. That's not to say I didn't. I mean, I did like a lot of the stuff that happened at the Cadmus thing. For example, I love the concept they've come up with of, for all intents and purposes, how to kind of drain her powers. I mean, I think that's...
Yeah, that's a nice thing.
I think it's more of a TV show conceit, but, you know, it's a smart one because a lot of people's issues over the years with characters like Superman and, I guess, Supergirl as well, is that they're so godlike and incredibly powerful that unless someone conveniently happens to have some kryptonite, which is why they invented kryptonite all those years ago, how does anyone ever beat them? How can you ever defeat them? And coming up with this idea of them losing their charge like a battery. And I know there's been a little bit of that over the years with the yellow sun recharging them. I remember that, of course. But the whole expending it through their heat vision, I don't know if that's just been solely invented for the show, or maybe they have done it in the comics in recent years and I'm just not aware of it.
Recently in comics, they introduced that, yeah.
You know what? If you do something that makes them a bit more vulnerable, a bit more quote unquote human, I'm fine with that. I don't mind a change like that. And I actually like that idea. I thought that was, I kept thinking she was going to do something to get out of it when that was happening. But I think one problem with Supergirl, she doesn't quite have a lot of guile. You know, she doesn't.
No.
You know, yeah. She's very nice. She's very sweet. But she could stand to be a bit more clever at times. Her cousin too, but you know, but more her, I think, on this show. I'll say another thing I did like about it before we go to the next part. I did like hearing Lillian Luther talk about why her problem with aliens and why she hates them and stuff with Superman and Lex. I thought that was, I just liked the way that was written. I got kind of a kick out of that.
You know, it gives her real motivation as opposed to just she's the bad guy.
Right. It gives her a little bit more. And of course, I love the fact that show we've got like a classic Luther villain, you know, evil Luther on this show too. So that's kind of neat, you know, because it's a super something show. You got to have a Luther in there. It's more than just her daughter, I guess. So I did enjoy that, but I just felt you're doing so much. And at the end, when he goes to the Fortress of Solitude, and it's he wants to find out about, was it Project Medusa? Is that what he says?
Yes.
That sounds really familiar to me. Has that been mentioned either on the show before, or is this the first time it's been mentioned?
I don't recall on the show before.
Maybe I'm just confusing it with Myriad or something.
That's what I think. Yeah, it seems like there's too many Kryptonian problems that they just like to go back to.
Well, all Kryptonian problems begin with the letter M, and all human friends of Kryptonians begin with the letter L. So there we go. Okay, so maybe we can shift over to a storyline I would say actually I thought was done pretty well. And that was the stuff with Jean and McGann, the whole finding out she's a white Martian. I think unlike Supergirl's, quite frankly, at times dopey anti-Daxamite opinions, Jean's actually got a really good reason not only to distrust, but even despise any and all white Martians. As probably anyone who watches the show would remember, we saw the history of that hatred in last season, so it was still this year, Strange Visitor from Another Planet. So this would be one of the parts of the episode I was very positive about. Vicky, how did you feel about how the Martian storyline?
I liked it. I think, again, maybe this is something that they might have, if they didn't have the crossover coming up, that they might have, you know, put off another, you know, dragged out for a little more, you know, another episode or so, just like him having symptoms or whatever, but, you know, not knowing what's up. But then I think this is something that they did actually need to do because they needed to have him ready to fight in the crossover.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to appear in the crossover beyond Supergirl. I'm wondering about that. I'll be very disappointed if he doesn't, but I got a feeling he's not going to.
I think it's just her.
I don't know why, but for some reason I thought he was in it, but I don't.
Well, you know, we don't know how they're setting up that first episode. So we can still have hope that maybe Flash shows up there, and at least Flash might encounter him. Maybe. So at least we get a little bit. But it is unfortunate that you know, what, he couldn't take some time off with her to go to the other studios. Anyway, what you were saying, go on, I'm sorry.
No, that's pretty much what I want to say. You know, like you were saying, his reaction was perfectly, you know, legitimate. He, you know, he hates them so much, so why, you know, obviously he's going to be flipping out that he's going to be, you know, turning into one. So
yeah, that's an aspect of the story I wasn't expecting, that having the blood injected into him might actually turn him into a white Martian. I'm not sure how Martian biology works. That's interesting. I'm kind of wondering, like, so if I inject some of my cat's blood into me, am I going to turn into a kitty cat?
I'm still working on my PhD in Martians. Give me some time. I'll get there for you guys.
But I also like the fact that even by the end of it, because, you know, there's a chance, because, you know, especially because Supergirl, more often than not, is a lighter and brighter show. Although they do have their dark moments, and I think there's a couple of dark things that happen in this episode. They're like, whoa, that's a bit much for a Supergirl episode. Didn't someone get their face burned off or melted off or somewhere in this episode, I think? I thought there was a chance, like, oh, maybe he'll understand and be forgiving at the end of the episode. And then you realize, no, he's locking her up. He's not forgiving shit. So. Kate, was there anything you wanted to say about it before we go on?
I like how the story is differing from the comic book story.
Yeah.
That's a nice touch, because they could have easily played it out just like the comic book. He finds out, John understands, he's had time on Earth, he's come to accept it, but they're totally playing it differently, and it's nice to be able to go, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to play out. It's nice not having that knowledge. So while the writers are doing some things, they just say, oh, we straight out, they're doing things differently here. And it is a nice thing. And they're doing this one well. This was the storyline I enjoyed probably the most in the episode, because nothing felt out of place. And while it did kind of get pushed into one episode, it still felt like they paced it appropriately. You get enough little visions that he starts to really worry about himself enough to where they do the test. And then finding out the white Martian blood is trying to take over and turn him into a white Martian, that's kind of scary for someone who hates them so much.
Right, yeah.
How he handles that going forward is going to be a good thing to see how John handles it.
Right. I mean, I agree. And if not without the crossover happening next week and so on, maybe they would have done something where he would have had a bit, you know, more occasional visions in this episode, and then by the next one, something more extreme happens, but leaves him. Again, it's hard for me to really knock the show for getting to something sooner than later, because too many shows that we watch, or some of us watch at times, take way too damn long to get to certain things. So, but it's only when you're keenly aware of something feeling rushed, where it's like, oh, I think you skipped a few things here. It didn't bother me with this as much as it did with a lot of the stuff that happened with Cadmus. You know, I was more bothered by the real Hank Henshaw stuff than fake Hank Henshaw stuff.
Yeah.
Although, which one's fake? Anyway. So now let's bounce over to the, hey, we had to come up with some reason to keep this character on the show, so we went with a C-plot from Arrow part of the show. The Guardian and the vigilante who kills with guns not to be confused with Vigilante, the vigilante who kills with guns. You know, the Guardian looks pretty cool in his outfit, and the fight scenes are, I don't know, decent, whatever. It's a good thing that Jimmy Olsen turns out to be a really good black belt, and like, wow, he's a real fighter there. I don't know how you make those moves in a suit like that. And apologies if I use any coarse language here, but I'm sorry, but who cares? This is so much of a who really gives a fuck filler. I'm just, why are you wasting my time with this? I mean, maybe, as I've been mockingly saying, they're cribbing ideas from Arrow, but it might as well be a bad flashback from Arrow, because I honestly almost just want to fast forward through these scenes and get back to the storylines I actually do care about, which is a shame if I ever choose to do that, because then I'd have to fast forward through some Wynn dialogue, who I still am enjoying as a character. He had a great old school pop culture reference when he, well, when he's yammering about his fear of going to prison, he blurts out that he's seen every season of Oz, which, you know, Oz is one of my all-time favorite shows, so I love that they got that in there. But, oh my God, I'm just like, really? Why? I mean, am I being too negative about it?
No.
And let me just make one thing clear, then I'll open it to you guys. I'm not saying, other than the fact I find it a little strange that, wow, Jimmy's a really good fighter, but whatever. That kind of does bother me, actually. It just seems out of place on this show, and it doesn't really feel like it needs to be here, other than, hey, we're stuck in this contract with this actor, let's give him something to do. I'm sure that's not what the situation is, but that's what it feels like to me. So, all right, now I'll shut up. So, Cade, you're a big Guardian fan, right? So
I... you've said it all, but even on top of that, this episode really has a major problem with this story in itself, that somehow this guy just suddenly becomes a vigilante on his own and is able to know where the Guardian is going to be, or they happen to be in the same place, and it's like, what? Why am I dealing with this storyline? And this villain you don't care about, there's no connection. You hear a backstory, you don't care. You don't want him to be redeemed. You just want him off the TV with Guardian. I mean, this is a guy whose wife is killed. They could have done this story. You start to feel, but no, you don't care. You're just like, please go away. And that right there is a flaw when you have a character you could be doing something with, even remotely, to make the audience interested, but they're not, because they don't care about the story it's involved in. Vicky? Well, I don't. The Guardian thing does nothing for me.
How are you feeling about it, Vicky?
I mean, I'll say this week it didn't do anything for me. I mean, I haven't had as much of a problem with it as you guys have, but this, you know, it just did nothing for me. I wasn't interested at all in this quote-unquote copycat or whatever, and I don't know, that was about the shortest lived secret ever. Now that Alex knows. Though, yeah, to be really fair, this was Wynn that we're talking about, so who isn't exactly the world's best liar, so.
there are no good liars on that show. but especially in an episode like this, I mean, as we were talking about how we would have liked other things to have more time to develop, well, they sunk what? 10, 12, I don't know how many minutes of the show on a storyline that I doubt very many people who aren't either close friends or related to the actor who plays Jimmy Olsen would give a fuck about. So, I mean, hey, maybe spend more time with the Hank Henshaw thing or with Jeremiah thing or anything. Really pointless. Just didn't care. And I'm going to continue to not care. And I'm troubled by the fact it's Jimmy Olsen, so I'm guessing they can't kill him off because, you know, it's Jimmy Olsen. So can he just go back to the Daily Planet already? Can we just be done with him? I don't know why we still have that storyline. I don't know why he's even there anymore. There's no point to it anymore. Did anyone want to say anything about the Alex storyline this week? I personally don't think they did as good a job with it as they had the previous few weeks. Her what do we call it? speech. Do we want to call? I don't know if it's a speech or rant or whatever it is that she does. It wasn't the most artfully put together piece of
dialogue. No.
It was a little kind of clunky. And no, we can't chalk it up to, oh, when someone's feeling like, no. It's a TV show. You write it well. You can, I thought, it's the first time I thought they didn't do a good job with it. And I really was, I mean, I didn't hate it, but I was just kind of like disappointed by it. I was like, oh, you did such a much better job the last few weeks than you did this week.
Yeah, I agree. It like there's a character, there's a way a person can deliver a lot of lines, but they seem broken up. This was just broken lines that weren't, it wasn't so much in the delivery, it's just the writing wasn't there to convey anything in it. She didn't come off as broken or heartbroken about it. She came off as like just complaining about it. It didn't have any emotion, the right emotions behind it, because it wasn't written to have the right emotions behind it.
Yeah. It was more petulant.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it seemed odd. I mean, I haven't looked at the episodes and who wrote them. So I'm curious if a different writer wrote this one than had written the previous ones. I didn't check that myself, unfortunately. But I'm curious about that because I kept thinking this, everything is just not gelling with this storyline and the way she's talking to her. And even by the end of the episode where things seem to be somewhat resolved, I was like, I didn't buy that either. It just didn't work for me the way it had previously. Now I was just very disappointed by that. Is there anything else that stood out, good or bad, that before we get to our scores?
No, I think I thought talked about everything.
Fix anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, I had a feeling. I have to remember not to do that because that just ends up with this dull, dead area on our podcast anyway. All right, so let's get to those scores. So, Vicky, how would you rate this episode of Supergirl?
I'll give it a, 3.5. It had some really good points, but it also had its detractions.
Okay. Cade?
I'm going to give it a 3. Because the storylines that were important got rushed because they crammed in a third story they didn't need. I felt some of our problems with the A and B storylines could have been fixed if that C storyline wasn't in there. Or just some things weren't even there at all.
That makes sense. I thought I was going to be giving it a 3 myself, but just hearing myself talk about it, I'm like, that doesn't sound like a 3. That sounds like a 2.5. So I'm giving it 2.5 this season, this episode. Hey, you know what? I'm sure it's going to recover next week. But it's the first...
That's the lowest one.
It's the first episode that I actually got really kind of annoyed with.
I can understand.
So I just have to get that out of my system. I said I told you ahead of time. I think I'm going to be mean to.
Supergirl. Oh, you did, yeah. You know? So,
and it's the only show I actually feel a little bad about being mean to because she's so sweet. But all right, so let's move on to the other show we'll be covering this week, and of course, we're talking about The Flash. Now, the latest episode of The Flash was, of course, titled Killer Frost. I do want to point out right off the top, this was the episode that was directed by Kevin Smith, who also directed the much-liked and even loved Runaway Dinosaur episode last season. And just so everybody knows, we will also be seeing a Supergirl episode directed by him later this January. So, in a super fast recap. We actually pick up where we left off last week with Savitar treating the Flash like a rag doll, and everyone else apparently thinking it's Claude Rains messing with him. And if you don't get that joke, I can't help you. Sorry. Vicky doesn't get it, I'm sure. And when Cisco and Caitlin show up via an interdimensional breach. I had no idea Vibe could do these things, to rescue Barry. Caitlin using her powers yet again really triggers the Killer Frost side, and she ends up on a mission to find Alchemy to get rid of those powers. Meanwhile, Wally's in a cocoon, which thankfully is soundproof, so we're spared any more of his whining. And you know, about not being a speedster, and then later, well, then he is a speedster. So I guess no more wah wah Wally. And finally, Julian is once again a dick, and then he turns out to be no drum roll, because I think we all kind of knew it was going to happen, and we were kind of hoping it wouldn't be, just because, come on, do something different, guys. No, it's him. Turns out to be Dr. Alchemy. So I'll start right off, you know, spoiling our own podcast, you know, maybe, by saying, even if we were covering 4 shows this week with a full-on STVD All-Star Squad, and one of these days I'll actually explain, because I don't think I have as of yet, why I refer to you people as the All-Star Squad. Kate, I'm sure you know.
I do.
And even if Dan had decided to be Mr. Contrary, which he can be from time to time, I am still pretty sure this would have been our highest graded episode of the week.
Yes.
So you're gonna hear a slightly different tone from me about this than during the Supergirl conversation. Now, normally, because this episode picked up where we left off, I would want to go right to where the episode starts, but I can't do that. I think we gotta start off talking about Caitlin Snow and Danielle Panabaker's performance tonight. We gotta start off with that now. So let's just talk about Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow, and she's involved throughout the entire episode. This is a very, you can tell this is a very unique and different episode than others. So and we'll talk more about that as we go on. But she center stage in this episode, and it's her. The only thing I'll say, and then I'm going to pass it on to y'all. We didn't actually talk about who would go first. I just realized that. Damn it. I think easily it's her best episode in her entire time on The Flash. I can't imagine there could be any denying or doubt about that. Okay. So, Vicky. Caitlin. Killer. What'd you think?
I loved it. Like you said, this is definitely, like, far and above her best episode yet, the most that she's had to do, which, you know, makes me beyond happy. So, but yeah, no, she was, it was so just chilling just to see her, like, switch. I mean.
That was so cool. go on. I'm sorry.
Not doing
just,
it.
Just to switch into Killer Frost and then just stay there all episode. Even though when she's in the cell, she's like, "Oh no, I'm back to myself. All I needed to do was get a good night's sleep." It's like, yeah, just.
I think what's really what I really enjoyed about her performance and the character was that there were at times a struggle going on. I'll admit that they probably could have played it up a bit more than they did, because it's a very what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a, it's sort of Jekyll and Hyde, maybe. A little bit.
I would say, yeah.
We'll go with that. I would have preferred if there had been a bit more of a struggle, you know, to try to suppress her nature at certain times. But that's like an infinitesimal, wow, I actually pronounced it correctly, quibble of mine. Was like you said, it's not just that she has a lot to do, but they gave her a lot to really sink her teeth in. And they gave her a storyline we care about. You know, that's key. Not just screen time. We're actually very interested and engaged in that story as well.
I found it interesting when we're talking about the duality of them, that before we were never, the Killer Frost we saw on Earth 2, we didn't know if it was just Caitlin gone bad, but you realize it's more than that. Their Killer Frost is almost like a distinct being inside that body at this point. That as she uses her powers, that being comes out more and more, and that's an interesting layer on top of it. It's not the powers so much that are making her evil, it's what those powers release that makes her evil.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you should say that. In a way, this episode resolved a question, something I was questioning, I think just last week, in fact, works. I couldn't understand why is it that just because she's getting these powers, therefore she believes she's going to be evil. And I think this episode kind of demonstrates that she already knows that for whatever reason, this persona is what the powers unleash. And she slips to the dark side, so to speak, to use a Star Wars speak or something. And then I realized, oh, okay. Again, I'm not sure how she knew that, unless she just, you know, maybe little glimpses when she used her powers, she felt it coming, perhaps. I'm not sure about it. I won't beat up on the writers for that, because there's so many other things I could beat up on them for. But I think she was just, hey, I think just her dressing down Barry alone and laying everything out for everyone to hear. And there's a lot of people I've read on the social media, on Facebook pages, whatever, who have kind of had it up to here, and my fingers are right below my lip right now, with Barry and his perceived, at least this season, his actually selfish acts, which have screwed people's lives up, and how he keeps doing that over and over. I love that she did that. I think that was so strong on the episode.
Yeah, it definitely puts Barry, it puts him in place. It's not so much now that you know that you've done this and you shouldn't, or that everyone knows you're doing it and you shouldn't. And everyone is going to look and question you even think of doing or mentioning something like this. It honestly puts checks in place for Barry. Things that could keep him from doing it again, more so than his own being, others to tell him no. Because sometimes he's not real good at telling himself no. If there are others there who can convince him not to, it's a better thing for Barry to have that in place. And this hopefully can set that up.
Right, absolutely. Oh, by the way, I'm sure if Jason was here, he would be pointing out how, see, you name an episode after a character and you make it about them and it works, unlike last week, which was the exact opposite, with a quote-unquote shade. Chicade. Anyway, you haven't heard the podcast yet. Wait till you hear that part.
Oh, God.
Anyway. But, look, we've been kind of not thrilled with how that actress has been utilized more often than not on the show. And I think one of the interesting consequences of this is we got a complete story with her and these powers and how she's going to, at least for now, try to deal with them. But we know that's always lurking now. That's always going to be there. Because what I'm understanding is that she's probably going to have to keep, she's going to try to keep on those power dampening bracelets or something.
Yeah.
You know, but you know at some point. Plus, I'm like, do you shower in those? Do you sleep in those? I'm not that clear on that. But you know at some point, Killer Frost is going to get unleashed again. It's just, you know, they got to get her in that outfit. You know, because dear writers, I'd like to see her in that outfit again, please. But I find her really attractive in the Killer Frost persona. I don't know why that is. It's something about the lipstick, I'm guessing, or something. I don't know.
It's an otherworldly quality. The monotone color palette, really, it does a weird thing.
Plus, she's so much funnier as Killer Frost.
Yeah, she has a sense of humor as Killer Frost.
Oh my gosh. All right. You know, we probably should talk a little bit about, since we did add some other villain stuff in this episode, I guess we should talk a little bit about Savitar, and we can certainly skip right to the quote-unquote big reveal at the end, which I already gave away in the recap. Oops. Who cares? Everyone listening has watched it anyway. I don't know why I give a fuck about stuff like that. You know what? I don't have any real problem with it. I'd rather just listen to you guys talk for a change. So, Cade, I know you are actually a fan of Savitar from the comics, despite him looking ridiculous in his appearance. We had Dan.
Which ridiculous? Comic, okay, yes, comics Avatar looks like terrible garbage.
Yeah, we had Dan actually, I made a joke about it, and Dan Googled it during the podcast, and he couldn't believe it. It's like, yeah.
It's so bad.
We were complaining about Mirror Master. Mirror Master's in a tuxedo compared to
oh, it's 90s garbage, there's no doubt. It's the storyline, though, the whole, which they're borrowing, and that's the good part. They're using the part that made it interesting. But they've given him a look in this show unlike anything, and it's very Stargate is a good reference, kind of in how it looks, but it does give this otherworldly, godlike, machine-like quality to him, which just a guy in a suit wouldn't have. So having something like this really makes him stand out, and having the fact no one else can see him, like whatever his power level is, or however he moves in the Speed Force, the ability to basically become invisible all except to the eye of a speedster makes him a much more, like, I was worried about another speed villain, but what they've done already has shown him to be something even above, like, other speedsters, that they're not just going to be able to bring in other people to help, like Oliver showing up and Firestorm to fight Reverse Flash, and then the team working last year, two Barrys to fight Zoom. He's not that kind of speedster villain. He's something even scarier and more frightening. Like when Cisco says, Barry's in like all these places at one time, that's above just being fast. That is like he is actually connected to the Speed Force in a way Barry hasn't even imagined yet. And making him that means it's not going to be Barry just has to get faster, because I don't think Barry can just get that fast in this season. He's going to have to do something different to fight beat this one.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to repeat. It's bad enough we have yet another speedster villain. I can't imagine that the solution is going to be, once again, Barry has to get faster. No, it's got to be something beyond that. Let me ask you something. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but yes, I do. I do want to interrupt you. Too bad I'm talking. I'm just fucking with you now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, and this is for both of you, because I want to knock over to Vicky as well. I want to ask her more about alchemy, actually. But with Savitar, let me ask you. Do you A, think it's just a guy in an outfit? B, is it more machine or mechanical in nature? Or C, what we kind of wanted Zoom to be at some point last season, maybe that's what Savitar is this season, and he's more, it's almost like an embodiment of some other of some force, not Speed Force specifically, but you know what I mean? Like an entity, you know, where
I think that might be what he is. I think he's more of like he is more than just a man in a suit or a machine. He is something else. And
someone else.
I'm hoping it's not just, mask comes off. No, I want him to be like a physical embodiment of some element, like something like the Speed Force that Barry doesn't have, just can't touch and just can't figure out, and they can't detective out who it is because it doesn't matter. It's not someone like that. I would hope that they do use that this time, and that he's not just a person, because that eliminates something from him. You can't try to get to him emotionally if he's not a person. If there's no backstory, you can't find the connection that can kind of break him. You can't play those things against a force of will, something that is out of this world like that.
My only issue right now is a real simple one, and it was an issue with Zoom last season as well. Is now we're seven episodes into the season. Mm-hmm. Now we've encountered Savitar in this episode and the tail end of the last one, and we know that he's what Alchemy and his acolytes are worshiping. You know, they're kind of, that's their god, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. What I don't know yet, and we're not going to know it next week, because crossover. Why? What's the purpose of this? What's Savitar's motivation? What is it he's doing? Why is he here? Why is this all happening? And I don't know that yet. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's, for me, there's always something a little bothersome about that. You know, say compared to, say, like Reverse Flash in season one, once we realized it was a Reverse Flash, we're already kind of getting a handle for why he was. I mean, he started right up with, we know he hates Barry Allen, and we know he's from the future, so he hates, you know, later Flash or something. We didn't know the exact reasons why, but at least we knew that. I have no idea what Savitar is doing and why he's doing this yet. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out, but it's going to be one of those things. It better be good. It better be a good reason. I don't know if you guys have, I don't know if you guys have that same issue or not, but
That's always a problem with these shows is like, you don't know anything. And then they blow up and there's all this stuff and it's like, well, where did that come from?
Right.
Like Church's thing in Arrow. Like we didn't know what he was trying to do. Then we do. And he's dead in the same episode. It's that kind of thing. That's like, that's the problem I worry about with the writers of these shows where they don't, they rush to give you why he's doing it, and then by the end of some episode, you're like, oh, there, doesn't really matter. So you do have to worry about that.
I mean, again, it is the first full episode we've seen him, so I'm not saying, oh, I need to know right now. So, you know, we're being introduced to the threat and the menace, and I'm sure we'll get the reason behind it soon enough. I don't want it to be like episode 17 or 18, and like, really, that's it? Which is what happened with Zoom last season. So, like, really? What? Who cares? Vicky, because I want to hear you again. Unless you had something to say about Savitar, I was more curious about your thoughts on. Can I just call him Dr. Alchemy? I hate calling him Alchemy. I don't care. I'm being old school. Cisco called him Dr. Alchemy, even if it was a joke. So I'm going to call him Dr. Alchemy. That's his name. So I wanted to get your take on the Dr. Alchemy stuff. And you can go right to the very end as well. and how you felt about that. And you might be a bit more charitable than I am on that one, but I was curious about, you know what? You can even throw Julian in this conversation too, just for the heck of it, because I don't know if there'll be a spot for him later on.
I don't know how to put that. I wasn't surprised that this is the direction that they took, even though, like you said, you know, we were hoping maybe they would do something else with Julian and not have him turn out to be a villain or whatever, despite all his saying what he what he was saying to Barry, you know, that if he had powers, you know, he would use them to help people and stuff. And it's definitely looked like he's not doing that.
Right.
I don't know, like, from that conversation that he had with Savitar at the end, that if this is something he's being forced to do, or, you know, there's something hanging over his head, or, you know, that's why he's doing this, or what. But, yeah, no, it explains why no one could find him last episode.
it was so well done in the previous episode.
Yeah, you had hoped maybe there was some other just whatever going on, but no, apparently that was it, because it was off being alchemy. So, I mean, like, yeah, like I said, I mean, I wasn't surprised, but, you know, whatever. They decided to go with it. So, I mean, there's no point in, you know, whatever, so.
You know, one of the reasons it disappointed me beyond the fact we kind of suspected it, and I was trying to argue against it. It might have been someone like Jason or someone else who was saying, well, you go out and you hire the guy from the Harry Potter movies, Draco Malfoy, you do it because you know he's going to be the villain. And I was like, well, that's a dumb reason to do it, you know, just to typecast a guy. I mean, he's an interesting actor. He's a different fit for the show. Doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be a bad guy. And boom, now he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I had hoped that maybe they wouldn't do the typecasting and maybe give him something different to do, but yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
And for me, that was the only thing in the episode that was really kind of took away from it a little bit. And it's very rare that it's the little stinger at the end, which kind of lets me down. Because I thought the scene between him and Barry in the hospital room, and yes, he's being on one hand, he's being a total asshole, but, you know, on the other hand, what he's saying actually makes a lot of sense from his perspective. It's one right. of those, you don't want to agree with him because, you know, hey, we love Barry, or, well, some of us love Barry, whatever. But it's like, yeah, what he just asked him to do does would sound like, okay, you're someone who's already been breaking the rules and getting away with, you know, not showing up and being lazy or whatever, but you're working for the police department and you're basically want me to, you know, want to protect your friend who by all rights has been involved in some highly criminal activity. So it worked for me, and I didn't see that coming, which is what I did like. That I didn't see coming. 2 minutes later, yeah, really?
Yeah, all going out the window. Giant hypocrite.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And to be clear, I'm not angry that he's Alchemy. I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, I'm just... It was kind of like the reveal of Zoom being...
it's just disappointment.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's Zoom is Jake. And it'll be like when they finally reveal, like, the vigilante character on Arrow.
Yeah.
Anyone who's read the comic knows who it is, but even if you're watching, you're like, I'm pretty sure I know who it is. It's pretty clear. You're dropping hints all over the place here. So, whatever. Other than those major villainous things on the episode, something about this episode that really worked well, and maybe we can attribute it to Kevin Smith directing it, because his episode last season had a lot of the feels and a lot of the strong character work, if I recall. I think he did the episode where Barry was traveling through the Speed Force and was encountering
right.
different embodiments yeah. of it. Different, so he was having all these scenes with, you know, the Speed Force as Iris or as Joe or whomever. I thought we got a lot of really strong, either emotional or humorous scenes between a lot of different character combinations in this one. You know, as far, like, emotionally speaking, the Barry Sisko stuff I thought was really strong. And I will confess, I had kind of forgotten that they hadn't put that together already. I had forgotten that they didn't realize, hey, you know, if Barry hadn't done this, your brother would have still been alive. I thought that had been touched on, but then I realized, oh, no, I'm confused. I just got confused when Sisko was all about, why wouldn't you go back in time to save my brother? Barry never told him, hey, I got even better news for you. About your brother. So, you know what? There are a lot of combos here. You know, whether it be Barry and Sisko or Joe and everybody. I thought this is a great Joe West episode in all his scenes. So I'd like to just hear from you guys which ones kind of stood out for you, which, you know, if there's anything that really kind of you thought moved the ball in terms of character or really just worked well, or if there was any you didn't like. I don't think there will be any you don't like. So,
there's one I'd like to talk about specifically.
Oh, okay.
Joe and HR, because this is a third instance of a Wells and Joe, but they don't have any of the connections they've had in the past. In season one, they were both father figures to Barry, so they would connect over that. Season two, they actually were both parents, and there was connections there. These two have nothing in common. And it's the first time there's an interaction where there's no common ground they can interact with each other on. And it led to a different scene than we've ever seen with them. There's like when he's like, you don't know what I'm experienced. There's no way you can talk to me when Joe tells HR that. And you're like, oh, he's right. This HR probably doesn't have anything because he doesn't have kids. He doesn't know how to tell Joe what it's going to be like for Wally. He has no common ground to either give him some advice, to console him, to move his spirits. He's got nothing there. And that was the first time we've seen that interaction.
But
Wells and Joe.
But you know what's interesting, though, is, I mean, everything you said dead on. And the fact that one of the first things Joe says to him when the issues are being brought up is, Do you have kids? And then you can't understand. You can't relate to this. Here's the difference. HR's personality is a lot different than either of the previous Wells. Whether it be the first one, who was basically actually a bad guy and ulterior motives, or the second one, who kind of was standoffish and really didn't really want to be bothered and didn't even want to be there. This is a guy who wants to be there, who really wants to give his opinions and to talk about things. He's a chatty Cathy on this show, quite frankly. Even though Cisco keeps shutting him down. Sometimes at a certain point, Cisco's going to realize, hey, you know what? He's actually coming up with some good ideas when he isn't like repeating what someone else is saying. But I do agree, and I bet it must be fun for the actors, or you know, especially you know Tom Cavanagh. Like, hey, we get to have a scene, and I get to do something totally different than all my other scenes that I've done with you over the past couple of years. So that was kind of a highlight for me too. I really enjoyed that scene.
I really liked how kind of Joe basically stood up for himself and was basically, no, yes. I don't have a good feeling about this. I'm going to actually do something about this. I'm not going to listen to you. So I thought that was really
you.
Good.
Thank you. Oh, I don't know if he had any influence on it, but that was one of the scenes I felt was very Kevin Smithy, that this was the kind of thing he would think of, that because Joe's not a science guy, and I love him. He's made little jokes about not knowing what anyone's talking about or whatever, but I like that he just lays it all out there, and he's kind of forgotten about the fact, hey, you know what I am? I'm a detective. This is what I do, and honestly, it kind of shows up a shortcoming of the show in previous episodes or previous seasons. They've not really played that up very much. Joe is a detective, but I don't recall if we've really seen him do much detecting.
No.
It's basically just crime scenes with Barry, and you know that those are usually pretty short.
Right.
Scenes,
It's not like this is an episode of Law and Order or something. I'm sure Dan will put in the music when I say that now. I have to remember to tell him to do that. Anyway, so I really. It's kind of like, was it last episode? I think Vicky, you had pointed this out, where Iris is talking about how she's not really. And I just like that they're really acknowledging things, but there's still a function for these characters on the show, because in a weird way, that's almost a theme of the show, because a lot of these characters might not seem to have a purpose on first glance. Maybe there's not a reason for Iris to be there. Maybe there's not a reason for Joe to be there. Maybe there's not a reason for HR to be there. But they all seem to end up serving Team Flash. Maybe serving is not the right way to put it, but you know what I mean. In some way where he does need them. So, yeah.
They have roles in his life. In the whole, they have roles they have to play. Yeah.
But I do agree with Vicky. I mean, I think for me, on a pure dramatic level, Joe's little speech before he leaves was also one of the best parts of the episode as well. Just good stuff from him. And, you know, even the stuff with him and Wally, I thought worked really well. It was an interesting idea that they came up with, the whole cocoon thing. I was wondering what was up with that when it happened at the end of the last episode. Everything with Joe in it this episode really worked for me. I thought this is one of his best episodes as well, quite frankly.
Totally agree.
Yep.
They let Jesse L. Martin just have a moment to play the part as best he could. And the writing was really good for it too. But it was one of those moments where you had good writing and a good actor coming together to make scenes really stand out for it in the show.
Right. And unlike some of the episodes this season, especially like last week, I felt that they didn't waste any time in this episode. That everything we saw with every storyline and every character served a greater purpose for the entire episode, and everything kind of worked together. For me personally, easily the best episode of the season so far. I can't think of an episode I like better than this episode as an overall episode, even with the ending. And maybe one of the best episodes of this year, quite frankly. At least, that's my stance on it. At least,
mm-hmm. I'd agree with you on that one.
Is there any? It's weird. I feel like we actually got through that one faster than I thought we would. I feel like maybe I'm forgetting some stuff. So, Vicky or Kate, is there anything else that stood out or that maybe I just we just let slip by that we wanted to mention about it?
No,
I think covered it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Holy crap.
I mean, besides Wally actually finally having powers.
Yeah, that's true. We kind of
yeah.
But beyond that, we knew that was coming. There was no surprise there. Yeah. It's just how long was it going to be before they did it? And they finally did it.
So, all right. So let's just, you know what? We got a couple extra minutes here. Let's just throw it out there. Let's throw out random questions here. Like Wally. Is he now, we saw the uniform he had in that first episode in the alternate world. Number one, should we assume that he's going to have that outfit here, you know, whenever? And number two, is he actually going to get referred to as Kid Flash? Which he himself has said a couple times. So I'm wondering if that's what they're going to do.
I think he'll end up being Kid Flash. I'm kind of hoping they don't use that uniform.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Why?
Because I would actually like to see them use the Wally West Kid Flash that he's sort of based on uniform for him to differentiate himself. So he doesn't look just like a yellow and red Flash. I would like to see something different maybe for him.
Wow. I did not expect to hear that out of your mouth.
I know. Well, I saw it already. And I mean, I wanted to distance themselves from the Flashpoint world. Instead of everything being lining up with it, have this be different. Make it stand out. So it's not like he had to be this because he was this in Flashpoint. Make it a point of this being something different.
Huh. I don't know if they went through all the trouble to make that outfit and then just use it for that one thing. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I really like the outfit, so I kind of... I kind of want to see it again, but especially because I want it to be substantially different than when he, because I'm sure that he's eventually going to interact with Jesse quick again. So I want him to have a very different look than her, and her outfit is based a lot on with red. So him having the yellow would kind of stand out. But of course I do wonder, their experience with a yellow outfit before this has been, you know, the Reverse Flash. Why make your outfit look like, you know, the most infamous evil speedster? I don't know. But I liked it. What do you think, Vicky? Do you agree with Kate on the uniform thing? Or do you just not? You're all about outfits and cosplaying. What do you want to see?
I didn't have a problem with his Kid Flash uniform, so I hope they use it.
You know what? I hope they use it, and I hope then he dyes his hair red. Anyway. Couldn't resist. All right. Okay, I can't think of anything else. And you know, if you think of anything else in the random moments as we end the podcast, feel free just to blur it out. Who the hell cares? But with nothing else to say, let's get to the grades. So, Vicky, what would you give this latest episode of The Flash?
I will give it a 4.5.
Cade?
I'm going to also give it a 4.5.
I am so tempted. But I'm not going to do it. I'm also going to give it a 4.5 as well. I was thinking 5. Like, no, the ending and... I want to say that for something truly, something, maybe even something next week, who knows. I did get some late breaking news during the podcast that rumors have it someone wants to change their grade from earlier in the podcast. I don't know how this came to me. Maybe it was a Ouija board, maybe.
I was thinking it over and I'm going to lower my Supergirl grade to a 3.
That is like Vicky lowering a grade to 3. That's seismic.
Pacing issues and
you screwed up if Vicky gives you a 3.
Yeah.
You messed up.
Ziggy. Vicky. Wow. Yeah. Damn, Vicky giving something at three is kind of like what Jason did last week to, actually it was The Flash, wasn't it? Was it The Flash? Yeah, the Shade episode that Jason trashed. So he was in rare form. Okay. We have finished covering both those shows. Yay. Look at that. I think we're all looking forward to the big crossover event next week. I know I'm kind of excited about it, as excited as one should be about something like this. I'm also, you know, I have to admit, as dorky as it sounds, as much as I'm excited to see all the different characters crossing over, you know, because honestly, I think we can agree that the main appeal of the crossover is seeing how everyone else reacts to Supergirl. I think that's really...
Yeah.
I think for me personally, and I think I'm going to say most of the audience, at least the people who watch three or all four shows, it's seeing how Green Arrow reacts to Supergirl. I think
that's
that,
what I want to see.
And Team Arrow, I don't know how many, if any number of them, I want to see how they react. I don't really care about how Ray Palmer reacts to her, or even Sarah. Although Sarah, I think she's cute, but it's, I want to see Diggle react, because of how he reacts to the Flash. Like, you think the Flash is something? Check out the Kryptonian.
You know? I think at this point he's just going to be like, whatever.
You know what?
He's just like, there's this just so much.
I know they won't do it because, you know, he's, you know, special forces, whatever. I would love it if he fainted. You know, Flash made him throw up. You know? So I just love him just like, you know, just faint. I know it won't happen, but that would be the funniest thing ever. But I think that's the thing I think we're most looking forward to as far as the actual interactions. But beyond that, the fact is that of the four shows, Arrow is actually celebrating its 100th episode next week. So that's...
Wow, that falls in line. Okay, so all right.
And I know a little teeny... You know what? What I know is basically the description in a DVR when I go over to the episode. So it's not really that I know that much about it. But I've read the description. It's like, I think Arrow is going to be a very interesting episode for fans of the show. And I won't say anything else about it because I don't want to unintentionally spoil anybody. I mean, it's not like I know all that. I know like two sentences maybe. But as much as I'm looking forward to everyone interacting, just on a pure episode basis, Arrow hitting number 100 and what it appears they're going to be doing in that episode, I might be want to watch it live episode for me. I'm very curious about that one.
I also think it'll be interesting just to see Kara's reaction to just meeting everyone else, given her initial reaction to the Guardian this week and her stance on vigilantes.
Well, yes. Number one, and I know we didn't mention it, which other than my thing in the very intro, is, hey, they've gotten cute with slight little Gotham references on Supergirl before, but...
Yes, how did I miss this?
This was the most overt Batman reference in any of the series before. Well, let me see if I recall it correctly. I believe she says something, my cousin worked with a vigilante once. He had tons of gadgets, lots of demons. I mean, vigilantes are nuts. So I think there could be little question who she's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Vigilante, gadgets, Nightwing. Demons.
That was a big glaring neon sign.
So that was quite funny. It's getting me to the point where I'm thinking, you know, I'm not saying Batman's ever going to show up on Supergirl, but I wonder if Bruce Wayne could show up at some point. Because once they had Superman show up, the whole, we can't have someone on because
it's
of the
off.
Movies.
I mean, seriously.
Doesn't seem to matter. If they can have Superman on the show. That also makes me wonder about Arrow and having to kill off all the Suicide Squad people. It's like, wait,
oops.
Arrow can't have Deadshot, but Supergirl can have Superman? Okay. But, yeah, that was, I'm surprised. I think I forgot to mention that specifically on the podcast. But anyway. They definitely put that vigilante stuff in there just because, well, guess what you're going to be encountering next week?
Yeah.
The vigilante.
I mean, part of me, oh, I really want to see, you know, Supergirl meet Wild Dog. No, I'm just kidding. I actually hope he's not in the episode, quite frankly. Take that, Jason. But I'm very much looking forward to it because I think each successive season, the whole crossover thing has gotten a little bit bigger. And now, obviously it's literally getting bigger because we've gone from 2 to 4 shows. So, and I don't know, that might, I could be wrong, that might be a first on TV. I know there's been 2 and even I think 3-way TV show crossovers in my lifetime. I don't recall if I've ever seen a 4-show crossover. Although with these shows, it's not quite as difficult as it would be for back in the day when Homicide crossed over at Law and Order and they film in totally different states and all that kind
right.
of stuff. But I think we're.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do crossover with all 4 Chicago shows now.
Oh, God. I don't watch any of them because, you know, Chicago. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well.
Hey, one of my favorite shows. One of my all time favorite comedies took place in Chicago. So I'm not going to knock Chicago. Bob Newhart show, Chicago. Probably the best show that ever took place in Chicago, quite frankly. What was it? Something else I wanted to say here. What the heck was it? Yep. Totally drew a blank on it. Oh, well. Can't think of what it is. So, yeah, so hopefully we'll get that one out in a timely fashion next week. I don't know if the fact that all 4 shows are crossing over one another will affect the format of how we do the podcast. Probably not, because I think they all will function as their individual episodes as well. So, and if that doesn't get people to watch Legends, nothing will.
They're missing out. I can't believe they really should just jump on. This show is so good this year.
Yeah, it's definitely stepped its game up.
Well, if people are invested to care about the crossover, they're going to have to watch that one because that's the finale. So I think you kind of forced to watch it. You know, and it's not like the days of comic books where you have to buy a comic you don't really like because it's the final part of a crossover, which always annoyed them. Fuck out of me, quite frankly. It's like, really? I got to buy this issue of, you know, the Outsiders, or, well, that's, I was going to say Wonder Woman, but I didn't want to offend Vicky. But,
love the Outsiders.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I'm rambling. Okay. All right. Other than that, it is Thanksgiving. I'm assuming you guys have something to do.
I have plans, yes.
Well, Vicky, I know you do. It'd be so sad if Vicky didn't. It's like, no. No kids.
Well, I do have family, so you know.
I'll just gonna stare at the wall. That's what I'll do. I'll imagine what turkey tastes like. Oh, actually, I think I have some Nine Lives turkey and giblet
pie. Oh God!
I'll share it with you. I have tentative plans. I might actually leave my house and do something. Yeah. You know, I have garbage to throw out. No, just kidding. I actually yeah, I get to hang out with my ex. Anyway, so let's wrap this up before I ramble any further. If you enjoyed this podcast, you will undoubtedly enjoy our Facebook page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can like the page and join the conversation about any number of TV shows. You can also find us on iTunes the very same way, the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed as well as rate and review us there. 5-star ratings are always appreciated. We've only gotten like 2 all year. What the hell, man? And we do have more than 39 listeners. That much I know. So, come on. Anyway. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at STVD Podcast. STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. Okay, and Vicky, also, you do a little promotional thing for our little podcast as well?
Yes, I've been sharing our podcast on popculthq.com.
So, which is cool. So, for all the people who are cult members or want to join a cult, you know, that's... No, just, I kid. I just couldn't resist. If you're a fan of culture club, no. Anyway, or the cult. Anyway. All right, so, thank... you guys for actually being willing and able to podcast on a Tuesday night, which is kind of uncommon for us. You know, screw the other two guys who couldn't. No, it's unfortunate they couldn't. Then again, we probably would have spent another hour talking about those shows if they had been here, so maybe it's for the best. But thanks for being here, as always.
Thanks for having us on episode 147.
We needed that pregnant pause for that. That wasn't a mistake, people. There was no musical insert missing there. Everyone just decided to not say anything.
I'm going to say it. I'm programmed at this point when we say hello or goodbye for Vicky to say it first, and then I always follow Vicky. And then Vicky doesn't go, my brain just goes, I don't know what to do now. I'll admit it.
Two fucking people. Two people. Just two people.
Episode 147. If Jason was here, it would have worked better.
Yeah, he would have said, that is episode 147. He doesn't sound like anything like that. If he sounded like that, I'd actually like him. No, I kid. I like Jason. why am I mean to Jason? He's a perfectly nice fellow.
He's not here, that's why. I mean...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're always mean to whoever's not here.
That's how this works.
That's true. That is how it works. Anyway, let me start the round of good nights because I thought we'd be done with this in an hour, but, you know, a little longer. Whatever. So, good night to everyone out there, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
He's the monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of wizzle. Yes, indeed, go from here to China in a no-time flat. Beat the speed of light, and you can't beat that.
The Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash. Smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy. Thief or robber, the world's fastest human. Yeah, man, the Flash.
No one knows Barry Allen is his real name. Works with the police, justice is his aim. Wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it when danger threatens.